Welcome back to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Scheffler. And today I am joined by Jaime Gonzalez, who is our senior associate pastor and Spanish campus pastor. And we also have a very special guest. John Uten is a longtime Christ Fellowshipper and was here for many years before moving with his family up to Minnesota. He is going to be preaching this Sunday. And so John joins us to discuss James chapter 3 and God's wisdom. It's a great conversation that I think you'll enjoy. All right. Welcome back, everybody, to the Pastor's Pregame Podcast. I am here with Jaime.
Hey, Lisa.
Hey, and just me and Jaime in the room.
No Bruce today.
But we have a very special guest.
Yes, we do.
On the phone, feeling like he's on, you know, sports radio, is John Uten.
Yay!
Hello, everybody.
From the Great North.
the Great White North.
Great White North. So tell me, John, tell everyone where you're calling from, and is it still snowy up there?
So we're here up in Alexandria, Minnesota. And it's a lake country, but right now we still have a little, well, we have a little bit of snow on the ground. Last Sunday, we actually had 2 inches of snowfall. And we have been in a winter. It's been a particularly long winter. And so everybody here is really excited because the sun has started to come out. The snow is melting. And everybody's attitude gets better when the sun comes out.
Yeah.
When it snows about this time of year, everybody gets kind of cranky.
Well, it's kind of like us, I think, down here in like October. And when you all of a sudden it's 93 and it's like October 15th and you're like, what the heck? Why are we still in summer?
Yes.
We don't complain about that in October. If we had an October that it was 93, I think everybody would be praising the Lord on high.
It's funny. It's the grass is always greener, right? Right.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about your church, John. Where are you at now? I know for those of you who don't know, John was here on staff for a long time. In fact, I remember serving in the nursery with your wife, Catherine, and we were both pretty new to the church. I mean, we were both young. We were all young back then.
Yes.
So you guys were here for a long time. And now you've been in Minnesota how long now?
Yeah, we've been in Minnesota for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And I served here as a senior pastor of a church called Lake Community Church. And it's a part of the Evangelical Free Church of America, the EFCA. Mm-hmm. But very, very similar to churches like Christ Fellowship. And so we've been here for 5 years, and the kids are getting older, and I have 2 that are trying to learn how to drive.
Wow, so, John.
Yeah. It's terrifying. It's a death-defying experience teaching teenagers how to drive. And so, we're just up here enjoying the weather, not so much right now, but ready for the sun to come out.
Well, you just talked to us in August. Yes. Then we'll
exactly.
We'll probably want to trade.
You will want to trade because up here we have tons and tons of lakes, and so I am waiting for the lakes to thaw. We still have 31. Well, we still have ice on the lakes. I could still walk out into the middle of the lake.
No way! So, wow.
Yeah. Ooh. Fun North story. This year, I had a Minnesota first. I had a guy who, about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, he wanted to be baptized. So I said, sure, let's get you baptized. We have one on April 30th. He said, no, I want to get baptized now. I said, okay, well, we'll find a place and baptize you. And he goes, well, no, I want to get baptized in a lake.
Wow.
You what? And he says, yeah, I want to get baptized in a lake.
Baptism is not supposed to be torture.
Right? And he said, I've always wanted to be baptized, and I'm tired of making excuses, and I've always wanted to be baptized in a lake. So I said, okay, if you cut the hole, I will baptize you in a lake.
What?
So this guy went out, and he spent 2 hours cutting a hole in the ice.
Big enough for 2 people. John.
31 inches of ice that he pulled out of this hole. That's how thick the ice was. And like people were sitting around the hole on the ice like they were chairs because that's how thick the ice is. And so,
I mean, you should see our faces.
No, you're like, that is commitment to Jesus right there.
Right. And you know, so what? Did you get in there and baptize
That's
him?
That's what
John?
I was going to ask.
Or were you like, I'll just kind of spray some water on you from over here?
That's what I want to know.
Absolutely. Like, at this point, I'm not going to give away my man card by not getting in the lake with him. So I got in there, and we baptized him, and it was really refreshing. Well, refreshing.
Shocking. What was refreshing? Shockingly what was refreshing.
Shockingly refreshing. What was really refreshing is, you know, a lot of times when people are, they come to faith, and this particular guy had a tough past several years, and just was really turning his life over to Jesus and making a big commitment.
Wow.
And he really wanted to, it was important for him to dedicate his life this way and to proclaim this to his friends and his family.
That's awesome.
And
that's
so awesome. He was so committed to being baptized mm-hmm. that he was willing to do it this way.
That's
and
awesome.
It was really refreshing because sometimes when you, in Christian ministry, sometimes you see people that make excuses and they don't want to, you know, I don't want to get in front of a group of people or
I want to get my hair wet.
I don't want to get my hair wet. But this particular guy, he was so excited about what Christ had done in his life that he wanted to do it right there, right then, in that way. So who was I to not be a part of that? It was actually one of my favorite times to baptize somebody. So
kind of
a crazy story, but really fun. And nowhere but Minnesota do I think I would have that.
Option. Yeah, that's hardcore, John. You've gone up there and become hardcore.
Yes, John.
hardcore ministry.
Much respect, John.
No, that's exciting, though. I do love the idea of someone being so excited about following Christ that they're like, I can't wait. I can't wait to be baptized. Yep. I don't want to wait till April.
Kind of like the eunuch story where there's water right here. Let's do it right now.
That's awesome. Water right there. They just had to work hard to get to it.
Yes.
Yep. Had to slog 31 inches of ice.
That's crazy. Well, that's a good story to kick off with, but it has nothing to do with James. So let's.
Is John on the call, Lisa?
Why is John on the call? John is preaching this Sunday, Jaime.
That's right.
In English.
That's right. Yeah. He's preaching.
So, which is so exciting because I have missed seeing John on the stage these last 5 years.
Yeah.
And it's great that he'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be back with us. I'm sure he'll get lots of hugs and lots of welcome homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm excited about seeing some old friends and seeing my family. And it's been a while.
Yeah.
So we're excited.
You're going to pick up right where we are in the book of James. So we're in James chapter 3. Mm-hmm. So, and it was so funny because when we were doing the brainstorm for this series and Bruce looked down and saw that this was the passage that that you were going to preach. He was like, oh man, I love that passage. And I was like, well, yeah, you gave it to John though. So you get the honor of preaching this amazing passage, John, and give the people a little preview. What's the main topic in this passage?
Yeah, that's funny because I was watching Bruce's sermon from last week on taming the tongue. And I thought, oh man, I love that passage. He gave me the one that I don't like as much.
That's funny.
So
you
I was
could
like,
have preached
oh, I
them out of order,
one.
I guess.
No, can't do that.
John 3:13-18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness.
But one of the interesting things that, you know, the previous passage talks about taming the tongue, and it talks about Bruce gave his three tips for taming the tongue, and it seems like a big switch because you get to this passage where he just asks a question. It says, who amongst you thinks you are wise? And it moves from this practical how you speak to wisdom. And a lot of times when we think about wisdom, we think about knowledge. We think about the head. We think about people that are intellectual. And we have this idea that wisdom is something that that's a mental pursuit, so to speak. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But this transition from the tongue to wisdom is really, really natural. Because I don't know if you've ever met anybody that did not tame their tongue and they were just kind of loose with their lips and they said silly things. You would not walk away from that person and think that is a wise person.
No.
In fact, scripture has so much to say about what it looks like to be wise with your tongue. And so this transition to wisdom really is it's a carryover from last week's sermon.
Well, and it even goes back behind before that, because really, I mean, what James is trying to get people to do is like live their faith, mm-hmm. you know,
right.
and that faith without deeds is dead. Mm-hmm. And you need wisdom.
Yeah, he told us in chapter one, if one of you lacks wisdom to live this life of being a doer, then ask God, and he gives it liberally.
Mm-hmm. And wisdom is not, like you were, that was a great point, John, because wisdom is not just something that happens in your brain. It's not just mm-hmm. decision-making. Mm-hmm. It's actually mm-hmm. living it out. Wisdom mm-hmm. is applied knowledge.
Applied knowledge.
So
that's right.
I think that's super helpful.
Yeah, even in the very first in the passage, it says, who is wise in understanding among you? And it gives the answer. So I love when the Bible gives us these diagnostic questions or a question that we're supposed to think about, and then automatically it gives us the answer. I wish all my professors are that way.
Right.
But it says, let them show it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that's internal. It's an actual action. It's how we live out our life. And I know one of the main passages for this series is James 1:22. Just mm-hmm. do not merely listen to the word, mm-hmm. but and deceive yourself, but do what it says.
Exactly.
And so, if you want to know if somebody is wise, look at them. What do they show you? And that's what the passage kind of goes through: is what does it look like? How would you show one person, or what are the things that you would show others on how it is to be a wise person? And then it contrasts that with unwise people.
And I think that's good, because I think the contrast there between sort of wisdom from above and then mm-hmm. earthly wisdom.
I love that contrast.
Yeah, is really vivid. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and Jaime, what does it say characterizes earthly wisdom?
Well, he tells us in verse 15, I believe it's verse 15, it says that such wisdom does not come from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. He describes this earthly wisdom where as its source, and then but he does talk about that this earthly wisdom shows up as bitter envy, selfish ambition, and this concept of boasting and denying mm-hmm. truth. All these ways that James describes this wisdom from the earth, from below.
Yeah, and it's interesting because if you define, like, you know, Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, mm-hmm. right? And that right. wisdom is all located in God. It's mm-hmm. God that we go to for wisdom. He has the wisdom that he shares with us. And then I love how in verse, let's see, 13? Yeah, still 13. Mm-hmm. He ties that to humility. He ties wisdom to humility because mm-hmm. it requires humility to go, okay, I don't have all the answers. Yeah. I have to go to God for the answers because he is the source of wisdom. And it also contrasts with that whole selfish ambition thing, which yeah. is I want to put myself first. I want to put myself ahead. Mm-hmm. It's all about me. And he's like, no. A truly wise person is someone who has humility mm-hmm. and that lives out that humility. So it's a fascinating contrast.
Yeah, and inside humility, whenever I know, I've known lots of great people that are humble, and I'll use Bruce as an example. We'll get him on the podcast in this way. One of the things I've loved about getting to know Bruce over the years is he really is a teachable guy, mm-hmm. And he learns from everybody. And when I think about humility, I think about these are teachable people, people that desire to be teachable, desire to learn. They're the ones that appreciate negative feedback. things that are going to help them grow in their relationship with the Lord. And so when you see someone who is wise, you'll also see somebody who's teachable. They're gonna want to continue to grow and be taught and find any source of learning that they can because of that humility.
The contrast of what happens when you live out wisdom and the kind of and the kind of environment that that creates, particularly in a church. I'm just thinking about James and like he's writing to these churches. Yeah. And so I can just imagine, you know, he's already talked a little bit about teachers in the beginning of the last chapter and how you might have a situation where you have leaders who are kind of, you know, all about themselves. They're not really about proclaiming Christ or teaching or discipling or making much of Jesus. They're about their own selfish ambition and how that can create just this mess in a church culture when that's the wisdom, quote unquote, wisdom from below.
That word selfish ambition in the Greek has a sense of partisanship where it's my group. It's my, I want to advance myself so I can get a following. I can get people to join my agenda. And I think that's definitely something that we see in the earthly wisdom where we want to feel we want people to recognize us. Look, I'm important. I have something to say here. And so you guys got to listen. And at times that can be very destructive in the house of God, in our families, and in our personal relationships. This passage is so applicable to our personal relationships, family, church.
Well, our culture is, you're exactly right, Jaime, because that Greek word, like partisanism, it's a harsh zeal or a rivalry in the language. And what it gives us this idea of is tribalism. And our culture has been plagued with tribalism for years and years. And over the past 2 or 3, 4 years, you see people taking sides. You see people creating their tribes. You see echo chambers. And you really see this harsh environment where we don't listen to one another. And I think that this bitter envy creates a place where there isn't peace. And that's what you see in verse 17. It's like the flip side of that, the flip side of tribalism is peace, that they seek peace and they seek love and they're considerate and submissive. And that is in such contrast to the way our culture tends to deal with issues these days. I say these days, it's been that way for a long time. It just feels like it's gotten a little bit worse in that area. And to have a heavenly wisdom that says, no, I'm going to be considerate. Even, you know, if I disagree with you, Jaime, I hope I don't do it with bitterness. I would want to do it with considerate. I'd want to be considerate and submissive and teachable. And there's this real contrast between the way the world goes about their wisdom and the way that we're called to as those who have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, guiding us in wisdom.
Yeah, I think that's we should
look
so
different.
Yeah, we should look different. And I think what I was struck by in reading going down to verse 17 and looking at how wisdom is described here, you know, pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. I'm like, it's hard for me to imagine like that being the definition of wisdom that you would get from a lot of people if you ask them, what does a wise person look like? Or what does it mean to be wise? You know, it feels like a lot of, like, if you went to the self-help section of your bookstore, or if you went to a bookstore, the self-help section of Amazon.
What's a bookstore? Tell me more of this place.
Of these bookstore places.
Is it like a library or, you know, like Audible? Tell me more.
Yeah, exactly. But are you searched Google for, you know, how, you know, it's all about how to get ahead in life. How to, it's like, you got to fight for it. You gotta, you know, be tough. You got to get what you want. You got to go after what you want. You can't let anybody tell you no. And that's so contrary to what James is saying. I mean, he really indicts all of us in some way with his description of wisdom.
Oh yeah. And so like when I read this passage, you know, you want to say, well, I'm verse 17. I'm the wisdom that comes from heaven, like pure and peace loving, considerate, submissive, and you know. But really, when you kind of look at the earthly wisdom, we talk to earthly and spiritual. You kind of use the word demonic. Other translation like of the devil. But there's envy and selfish ambition. And I think, wow, Is there any place in my life where I envy, where I wish I was like that person, or I wish I had that thing? You find disorder. And so like when we start to look at our own lives, we think, oh, you know what? I need to look at the areas of my life where I've allowed earthly wisdom to take hold, and look at the areas of my life where I need that heavenly wisdom to be a part of what I am. You know, yeah. Considerate. As husbands, we could always do better at being considerate. That would be earthly wisdom or heavenly wisdom, to be considerate.
Yeah, I think often too. How often are we merciful? You know, because you know it says right here, wisdom is full of mercy, and I love the progression of these verses. I read a commentator that said that it's almost like purity is like the water, right? That comes out. It's like this agricultural kind of metaphor that we sometimes we miss because I don't know, I'm a city girl. But like, you know, you think this pure water coming down and peace loving, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. And like the pure water brings good fruit and it's going to sow in peace and reap a harvest. And so it's like this beautiful picture of God's purity and bringing that down. And I think it's interesting. What do you guys make of the fact that purity is said first? It says first of all pure.
I think that it has that idea of not mixing stuff, no mixture. It's pure. That's what
the word. Thank you, Jaime, for answering the question with the question.
Yeah, with the question. I think it's this idea that it will have a clear purpose. It's going to, when we are employing the wisdom that comes from above, it's going to produce that, going back to verse 13, that good life, that life that is characterized by good works. It's a constant, it's a pattern, a way of life. And so my life isn't this mixture. Remember, he just gave us this image in last week of you can't have good water and salt water
coming from
the same fountain. You can't mix them together. So somehow when you're living this godly life and you have a true, genuine faith, it's also going to translate into you employing heavenly wisdom, and you will live a pure life.
That's good. Yeah, I didn't make that connection, but I think you're right. I think that's probably kind of what he's got in mind when he thinks about the fresh water and the spring water, and it's the same idea. Yeah. And it's interesting because it doesn't take much to make something not pure, right?
Yeah.
A drop of red paint will make your entire bucket of white paint pink.
Yep.
So it doesn't take much to make something not
one
pure.
Colored sock in the laundry load of white will make every. I learned that the hard way in college.
Yes, everyone in with you know your whites turned gray or pink or whatever.
College.
not last week.
The other part of the idea of pure. I mean, we talked about the when you blend things together, but it's also. I think about water. So we have a well at our house here in Alexandria. There's a lot of iron in the water, and so it pumps up the water. And I have a filtration system in my house. And it doesn't come out that way. It doesn't start that way. But over some refinement and time, that water becomes more pure. And then after it's gone through that, I have one more filtration system called reverse osmosis. That makes it really pure. And this is what we drink out of. This is what we find the most of our nourishment, you know, in terms of water. If we ever make ice or whatever, we use the reverse osmosis water. But it didn't start that way. Mm. It started with impurities and iron in the water and all this other stuff. And, you know, wisdom doesn't just always, whenever you know someone who's wise, they probably didn't start that way. Mm. There was probably a process. God does this thing called refinement, and he refines us over and over. And that's why I think in other parts of scripture, even in James, talks about not looking down on discipline and training, because the purpose is to be pure and to be refined. And so when you think about wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, I always want to be that wise person when I see it. But sometimes we don't realize that God has been working on that person for years and years and has refined him or her in such a way that that now when they speak or when they act and when they live, you see the wisdom in their life. And so it's not spurring God's discipline and training as well. if we want to be wise people, because that's the whole question, right? In verse mm-hmm. in chapter 13, or verse 13, it's who is wise amongst you? And it's to become wise, we have to really allow God to train us and refine us so that we can become pure. And then we can be peace loving and considerate and submissive. So that's, I think that's the other part of the nuance of pure being that first of all part of verse 17.
Yeah, I think that's really good, John. That's really helpful. And it gives us hope, right? Because like you said, it's not something that happens overnight. It's not something that happens at the moment we accept Christ. It's it's a lifetime of following right. Jesus and learning and, you know, messing up and then
right.
and then repenting and trying again. Mm-hmm. It's over yep. and over. And, you know, I also think as you read down into the next chapter, chapter 4, it becomes clear how motives play such a role in all of this, because you can see how the selfish ambition and the bitter envy is formed in a motive, right, of self, mm-hmm. a motive of self-promotion, a motive of, you know, what I want, right. self-focus, self-centeredness. And the motive yep. that would come with wisdom, or the motive that would undergird wisdom, would be this sort mm-hmm. of like, desire to submit to God, desire to be humble, desire to be peace-loving, considerate, all of the things that it lists there. And I think it's interesting that peacemakers, like you said earlier, John, is listed twice. Peace is obviously mm-hmm. a really important concept in this. And that makes sense, because the next thing that's coming and he's going to say is, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Why are you not experiencing peace?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was reading some commentaries, John, that say that verse 13 through 18 are the theological component of wisdom. And then now 4 through could be the end of there, 13 could be the practical component of it. So some would not make that. They wouldn't make that distinction in the passage.
I can see that.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem yep. crazy. It's like John started out with, like we went very practical last week, and yeah. now this passage is a little bit more abstract. And then mm-hmm. the next week we're going back down to like practical. Really practical mm-hmm. how to's. So yeah, that's why I love yeah. James though.
Well, that's what I was about to say. That's why I love James. I love how practical it is. And he just, again, he says it in the very beginning, where he says, don't just merely listen to the word and deceive yourself, mm-hmm. do what it says.
And you can see how that can happen with people who think they're wise, right? They've deceived themselves because right. they're not wise.
I was just thinking about this. What if I said that, hey, I'm a really good cook. And so I've read all these cookbooks, and I watch cooking shows, and I've learned how to be a really good cook, but what if I never, ever made a meal? Mm-hmm. You would say, you're not a cook. I'm like, no, but I know more than you about cooking.
Yeah, I know all the everything temperatures there is, and all the...
know the temperatures, yeah. you know, and how to do medium rare. I know how to, I've read these ways in which you can blanch, I think that's a word in cooking, you blanch vegetables or whatever. And I can know all of this stuff, but if I don't do it, mm-hmm. what good is it? That's why it says don't deceive yourself. Like you're not living in wisdom if you don't practice wisdom. That's what, again, verse mm-hmm. 13, show it.
Yeah.
If you're not living in wisdom, you are not a wise person. And no matter what you can regurgitate, I think in Christian circles, sometimes we think wisdom is knowledge. Mm-hmm. And knowledge is important, right? It's great to understand the word. It's great to understand, to read commentaries and to read theology and to know all these deep things. But if you know everything but do nothing with it, you deceive yourself. And I think that's the, like you said, Jaime, the theological underpinnings that we see here mm-hmm. in this particular section of scripture, is that he wants us to live out our faith in a way that brings honor and glory to God, and shows the world that we are set apart. And so this wisdom passage keeps coming up. I love this this peacemaker thing. When you know wise people, I'm trying to think of anybody that wise people promote peace. I can't think of wise people that promote anger or
disunity, fractions,
divisiveness, yeah. you know. Like wise people, they promote peace and they help bring peace.
Mm-hmm. And that, again, that's so contrary mm-hmm. to our world where you have all these different, you know, mm-hmm. podcasters all screaming, you know, at yep. each other. And even in the Christian community, unfortunately, you see that where mm-hmm. it's all about, you know, well, I follow this. It's like in 1 Corinthians when, you know, they're like, I follow Paulus. I follow Paul. Mm-hmm. I follow Jesus. So clearly I'm the winner.
I'm better.
And it's just like that. And you get this kind of crazy divisiveness. And it's like, no, we're supposed to find unity together. We're supposed to come together in the family of God to promote Jesus, to focus on Jesus. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm excited for your sermon, John. I'm so glad it's you're coming.
Fun. Yeah, I'm excited about it. And, you know, I hear that there's some crazy things happening at the church. Bruce is only giving me 20 minutes in the sermon.
You'll get to fast. Yes. Luckily, you only have, it's a short number of verses. So.
Yeah, exactly. So if I talk really quick, that's what's going on. I'm just trying to get it all in.
Yes, because it is. Why is he only getting 20 minutes, Jaime?
It's serve day.
It is serve day.
It is.
A special edition.
Special edition, yes. And I take it they filled you in on the fun, huh, John?
Only a little bit. Bruce doesn't tell me a whole lot. So I just, he says, hey, you want to come preach? And yeah, I want to preach.
But you only got 20 minutes.
Yeah, you get 20 minutes. All right, boy, that's better than zero.
Yeah, no, they, we are going to send people out. There's lists already available.
Yep, on the app.
On the app, on mm-hmm. the CF app. And people are going to be sent out into our community to get supplies and items and things that our local ministry partners need. Mm-hmm. And so these are ministry partners like Hope Clinic that helps mm-hmm. people.
Shiloh Place.
Yeah, who don't have medical insurance. So they help mm-hmm. with medical care. And then Shiloh Place is for women who have left domestic violence situations. Mm-hmm. And they're just a nice slew of mm-hmm. ministry partners that we've worked with before who do just mm-hmm. some amazing work in our community. And this is a Great. Chance for us to kind of stock them up. And they're always mm-hmm. so excited. They bring their trucks and trailers.
U-Hauls and him.
And we oh, do wow. stock them up for months. They go away with plenty of supplies. And so that's the generosity of our people. And that's what we want to do. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's just a small thing, but it's something that we think is really important to teach mm-hmm. kids. Because you can take your kids yeah. and go, let's go to Walmart. We're going to get some things to help people in our community. And the kids get excited.
And the cool thing is while you're shopping at Walmart or Kroger or Marketplace, wherever, you see other church members mm-hmm. doing the same thing with their list. And you're like, oh, wow, Christ Fellowship. Yeah, Christ Fellowship.
Yes, I took pictures last year. I was like, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be a creeper, but they were wearing their Be Known, Be Loved shirts. And so I was like, I'm going to take a picture and send it to our communications team. Please don't think I'm a creeper. So, yeah, it's really fun. And then, though, this year, the special edition part mm-hmm. is we're going to have a bunch of fun events back at the church, food mm-hmm. and bounce houses and just yep. games and just, awesome. You know, low tech,
yep.
but time for people just to hang out and linger. And we're hoping for good weather and,
yep. and free food
and music and just mm-hmm. people can just sit around and chat and talk and have, as we call them here, meaningful mm-hmm. conversations.
Yes. Yeah. That's awesome. I mean, that seems like a good application to not merely listen, but go do something, right?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. the hope. And it's really the hope is to introduce people to these ministry partners because they do good all year round. Oh, yeah. And mm-hmm. it's good. It's great to buy supplies and bring them. They're always much appreciated. But a lot of these ministries could use help throughout mm-hmm. the year.
Yeah.
You know, people donating their time or talents mm-hmm. to keep things going. Well, so, and we'd love for people to get a heart for what these community partners are doing. Mm-hmm. So
that's neat.
So
that's
I'm really glad neat. You're going to be here, John. Maybe you can bounce house. Are your bounce housing days yeah. over?
No, I mean, you and I can get in there and bounce house together.
I don't know, man.
I mean, bounce house know. Days might be well, over.
I might need
I've
a sign.
I've only been gone 5 years. You haven't gotten that old. I think
yeah. My gray hair is coming out pretty fast, John.
I have grown so much white in my beard over the last 3 years. And so I look at myself in the mirror and I think, I used to be young.
Yes.
I used to have like, you know, vim and vigor. But no, that's awesome. Is Shane Griggs cooking?
Yes, of course. Uh-huh. Of course. Who
Fantastic.
Else?
How exciting is that?
There will be good food. So, yeah. So, you will, this will be a kind of a low stress thing for you, John, because you can come do your 20 minute sermon and then just hang out and talk.
Yep. That's exactly right. Let's have fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Jaime, would you close us in prayer?
Yeah, it'd be an honor. Hey, John, it was an awesome privilege and honor to talk with you today, brother. Thank you for joining
our humble podcast. So much.
Awesome podcast.
Yeah, blessed to do it. Thanks, guys.
All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wisdom from above. And we do pray that you give us more of your wisdom to be able to apply it and live it out in our lives so that through our lives, our deeds, your name will be glorified and people will come to know you because of what you've done in our lives and through us, Lord. And so we do ask for our listeners and for everybody that will be here this weekend, that you increase our wisdom, that you give us more of it, Father, so that we can be a blessing, Father, to those. And we thank you for John, what you're doing in his life and his family and in Minnesota. We ask a blessing upon them, Father. And we thank you for this time that we were able to open your word together. In the name of Jesus, we give you thanks. Amen.
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 All right, everybody. We will see you back next week.